D-Mace Vingen and Donick 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We are awaiting one Will Donick. He's in Denver.
Willie.
He's getting set up.
Let's go.
He's not on yet.
Okay.
You know what they do in Denver, right? Hey.
We know that ain't Willie.
Should I finish the thought?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Okay.
Dang, Willie.
Smoke something every day. Oh, man. Well.
Before we get Willie on, read the text by Wes.
Okay. Wes. All of the Wes's. Yeah. But this is from Wes and Hermitage about our discussion with Cam Ward and Will Levis. He says, quote, "I'm not comparing Ward to Levis. I'm done with Levis. But when you draft a guy 1-1, compare him to Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, turn down a massive trade to draft him, tell us he's the guy, and then he still goes out there and has accuracy issues on basic NFL caliber throws, it's definitely not a good look. That's all I'm saying. I'm hoping we aren't throwing out the idea of drafting Mendoza just yet," speaking of the Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. "If we pass on Mendoza and Cam doesn't pan out, that's going to look even more horrific for this organization if Mendoza goes out there and starts balling. I love you, D-Mace, but sometimes you defend players too quickly. Not every player deserves the benefit of the doubt."
It seems like you're throwing them away too quickly. You know, it's only been 13 games. Didn't we say Will Levis give him 20 games? Well, Cam hadn't had 20 games. Why do I need to be that harsh on him and throw him out with the bathwater? I didn't do that to Will Levis. I said I want to see him come back in there, and you can go back. I said I want to see how he comes back the next year. And he didn't come back how I thought he should have. Okay, then. Now the clock's on. Boom. Now we need to go in another direction. The kid hadn't even played 20 games yet. And people are throwing him out. And it's like, oh, he can't do it. He can't do this. Now it's Mendoza. If you pass a Mendoza, well, Mendoza may be great. He may not be. I don't know. All I know is about the quarterback now. You know, and I'm like Will Levis, I'm giving him an opportunity. Like Marcus Mariota, I'm giving him an opportunity. And if you give him an opportunity, and after that, he's trending toward not being that guy, believe me, I think y'all have listened to me long enough that I'm just going to call it how it is, at least how I see it. And if he's not progressing, then I have no problem with saying that. I'm not too stubborn. I'm not arrogant in that way. If he's not developing, I'm going to say he's not developing, just like I said with Will Levis in that second year after 20 games. He's not developing, people. They got to go in another direction. The Titans thought so, and they went in another direction. Best believe, if they don't see the development in Cam after this season, going into next season and during next season, there's going to start being questions asked, okay? I'm not saying they're going to, you know, dismiss it and move on, but they're going to start to have to answer some questions. So let's at least give him 20 games. Let's just say that.
Joey from Bellevue says, "What the Heisman would mean for Vandy, the question should be what it would mean for our mutual friend, Willie Donick." Well, we can ask Willie when he joins the program. But the Heisman Trophy presentation is tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central, in New York, I believe on ESPN. And Diego Pavia, man, he's been all over the place today. I believe he was on First Take on ESPN. Derek, you sent this my way. Shockingly, he was on Morning Joe.
Yes.
On MS Now. Most people remember it as MSNBC. But Willie Geist, a host on Morning Joe, is a Vanderbilt alum, so I'm sure that's how it came up. But Clark Lee and Diego Pavia were on Morning Joe this morning. I believe Pavia is leaving New York to go to Baltimore to accept the Johnny Unitas Award, mm-hmm. and then going back to New York. So a busy day for Diego Pavia. By the way, I love this quote from Ralph Russo, who covers college football for The Athletic. Quote, "At the Heisman News Conference, a reporter told Diego Pavia that former Mississippi State cornerback Fred Smoot once said of a Vandy wide receiver, 'If you do my homework, I'll let you catch a pass.' Pavia's response, 'Now at Vanderbilt, we'll do your homework and kick your ass.'"
Oh, my goodness. He He don't even know who Fred Smoot is, Pavia. So why would a reporter even throw that out there just to get a reaction? I guess.
But you know what? Diego Pavia.
Yes, I Diego love Pavia's Pavia. Reaction. I do. It was funny.
And perfect timing. We have Willie Donick. Hello, Willie.
Hello, gentlemen.
Are you familiar with this quote from Fred Smoot?
I am not.
Did you hear it, or do I need to repeat it?
I you got to repeat it because I heard the setup and then I missed the line.
Okay. So Ralph Russo of The Athletic, who is in New York for the Heisman Trophy presentation, tweeted this quote. At the Heisman news conference, a reporter told Diego Pavia that former Mississippi State cornerback Fred Smoot once said of a Vandy wide receiver, "If you do my homework, I'll let you catch a pass." Pavia's response was, "Now at Vanderbilt, we'll do your homework and kick your ass."
Hey, Willie, that's disrespectful, though, if somebody said that to you.
Look, we heard it all the time. That's why it's fun to win when exactly. You're at Vanderbilt. That's why it's fun to win.
Willie, how did you feel about Diego Pavia getting some airtime on Morning Joe with fellow Vanderbilt alum Willie Geist today?
Oh, well, I would expect nothing less. Geist has always been super supportive. Like, I believe if I remember this correctly, he was a walk-on basketball for maybe a semester. I think he tried. So he's a pretty decent basketball player. In the tryouts, I think he was among the best of the walk-ons, and I don't know if he ever suited up for a game, but he was pretty good. But he's always been, social media-wise, on the bandwagon for sure.
So let's talk about the Heisman Trophy presentation. The four finalists: Fernando Mendoza, Indiana quarterback Diego Pavia, Ohio State quarterback Julian Seyin, and Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love. But it's a two-person race. It's Mendoza and it's Pavia. And Willie, I'm glad you're here now because you have the historical context of Vanderbilt athletics. So what would Diego Pavia winning the Heisman Trophy tomorrow mean for Vanderbilt University?
Boy, that's hard to put into words. It's just the first thought that comes to mind is just how I guess unfathomable it would have been to think about this. You know, when I first got to school, there was a quarterback named Eric Jones, and he was very talented and a very good player, and they like had a campaign for him for the Heisman. And, you know, by the middle of the season, he was clearly not in the running. But, you know, you wouldn't even have a thought of a player like that. Even a guy like Jay Cutler, who was a really good quarterback on a team that, you know, didn't have great players around him, like, he wasn't even close to that. Somebody sent me a picture of the backdrop. You know, you do a backdrop for a press conference or a media scrum, and you have a Vanderbilt logo. So they have the Vanderbilt logo and then the Heisman Trophy outline in like a checkerboard, you know, pattern behind. And it's just like, let that sink in for a moment. You know, it's just so it's new ground, and hopefully there will be a domino effect. I think we all agree that were it not for Pavia, they would have no chance of getting Jared Curtis. Like, directly, Diego Pavia had a direct impact on getting Jared Curtis. And so if Jared Curtis ends up being a guy that can pan out and be something special, who's that going to lead to? So there's momentum. There are little moments in history where you have a chance to grab momentum and elevate a program. And I think this is that moment for Vanderbilt. That's the next thing for them, is can they build off of what they've done?
Same question for you, Derek.
And that's what I said. Willie, that, you know, for me, if Diego does win the Heisman, outside of a national championship, I think it does change the program. I think it will validate the program even more. I think it will help validate, you know, Beck and the play callers. I think it helped validate the coaching staff even more. Not that they need it, because they've shown they're damn good at what they're doing. But not only do you have, because we talked about this with Withrow and Hutt a few days ago, not only did you get the five-star in-state quarterback to switch from Georgia to Vandy and not Georgia to UT, but you also win the Heisman Trophy with your quarterback. So I think that is a huge momentum shift if he wins the Heisman. It's going to do something for your program that hasn't been done in a since probably forever. It's a shifter. It's going to shift your program. It's going to allow the other guys to come in and say, hey, I can win the Heisman. I can go there. We can win. And I can win individual awards.
Here's something funny that we're going to play a clip in a little bit from Diego Pavia. He did the Pivot podcast. Again, Diego Pavia, to his credit, he's doing every major media appearance he can do, except for this program. Come on, Diego. Show us some love. But a funny story, he revealed on the Pivot podcast that Deion Sanders offered him a scholarship at Jackson State to back up Shedeur Sanders.
Well, at least he offered him a scholarship.
He said, quote, Coach Prime offered me at Jackson State, but he was so real. He was like, hey, look, we're looking for a backup. You ain't playing over my son even if he gets hurt. And I'm like, at least he's real, you know? Hey. So I took the offer to New Mexico State. And the rest was history.
It worked out for Diego.
The rest was history. But I am fascinated. We did talk about this earlier in the week, how the Heisman Trophy voting is distributed. The regions of the country, the former Heisman winners, the one fan that gets a vote. And this is going to be part of Take It to the Bank at the end of the program. But I am curious, Willie, what the margin of victory is going to be in the Heisman Trophy race. Again, assuming it's a two-person race between Mendoza and Pavia. Here are the three smallest margins of victory in Heisman voting history. 2009, Mark Ingram won over Toby Gerhart by 28 points. In 1985, Bo Jackson won over Chuck Long by 45 points. And in 1961, Ernie Davis won over Bob Ferguson by 53 points. So I don't know what it's going to be, and I'll have a number to throw at us for Take It to the Bank at the end of the program. But I am curious, Willie, how close this vote is going to be, because I do think it's going to be fairly close.
So how would we define close? Because I agree with you. I think it'll be close, but you just gave some good historical background. Would it be within 30 or 40 points?
I would say within 50. I would say close would be within 50. That would make it the third smallest margin of victory if it were within 50.
I think it's very possible. I would lean that way. I really will be disappointed if Pavia doesn't get a significant amount of first place votes. But I've been surprised before. You know, I've been disappointed before with things like Norris Trophy for Shea Weber, Norris Trophy for Roman Yossi, Vezina Trophy kind of thing. I thought Saros a few years ago was deserving to win the Vezina Trophy, and he finished, I think, fourth, something like that. So you just never know. The human element, you know, we talked about the person. I think it was Mitch. Might have been Jonathan Hutton. Maybe both. But I think we all agree there's that guy who has had a Heisman vote for probably decades and doesn't follow college football every week. I think this was Mitch that made this argument. And it's easy for that person to kind of just jump into a narrative when you watch the big pregame shows or you watch the Big Ten championship game, and they never mention Diego Pavia, right? How many voters are influenced that way and don't really dig down and do the research? Because I think if you do the research, Pavia should win the award if it just came down to that. But we know it doesn't.
Brett in Franklin says, what's bigger, Vandy beating Alabama or Pavia winning the Heisman? I think we would all agree it's Pavia winning the Heisman because of the, as Derek pointed out, the lasting impact that can have. The Heisman Trophy will be in the Vanderbilt football headquarters forever. And as Derek said, recruits across the country can say, not only can I win at Vanderbilt, I can win a Heisman Trophy at Vanderbilt. So as great as the win against Alabama was last season, we all loved watching the goalpost end up in the Cumberland River. But in terms of a lasting impact in a way that it can influence Vanderbilt football in the future, I think it's Pavia winning the Heisman, no doubt about it.
Yeah, because I think you want to get to a point where
beating Alabama is a regular
thing. Absolutely. So beating them 2 years ago here in Nashville and then walk. I think it was more – people are going to talk more about the walking the goalpost down
the
Broadway than anything else, especially if Diego wins the Heisman. But I just think that, yes, games matter, but if it's not the national championship game that you win or a SEC championship game that you win, I'm not sure if anything trumps winning a Heisman for your program.
Bill Connolly over at ESPN, he is one of their statistical gurus. He has an alternative awards for college football season, and Pavia won his favorite award, the quote-unquote dog in him of the year.
They need to make that a real.
And Connolly comes up with a formula that includes contact rate, out-of-pocket pass attempts, scramble rate, non-sack rushing yards, designed run rate, total QBR, interception rate, sacks per pressure, all of those things. That's his dog and him formula. And Diego Pavia, Willie, was the runaway winner for the dog and him award. But which, again, goes to show you, based on all of those factors, just how crucial Pavia was to running the entire operation.
I think that's what we've been saying mm-hmm. all season. And we know it in our city because that's where he plays. Everybody sees that. It again comes down to the voters. Do they see it? Because if it comes down to that's a great stat. I don't know all the things that he puts into that, but it passes the eye test, right? Everything goes through Pavia, and it's just not the case with the other guys.
One texter says, "I'm just imagining what Monday will be like if Pavia loses. Could you limit the Pavia was robbed, they're biased against Vanderbilt, poor Vandy segment to one segment, please? And you should accompany that segment with violins."
I mean,
Fernando Mendoza is a worthy winner of the Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. If Fernando Mendoza, he is the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. If he wins the Heisman Trophy, I am not going to claim that Diego Pavia got robbed.
No, and that's why it's like it's hard to answer because it's not hard to answer, but it's like, man, I mean, okay, we were able to legitimately. Well, not say legitimately, but you had an argument, a real, like, true argument on Vandy being in the college football playoffs and them possibly being left out because of bias and all this other stuff. So I think there's more of a argument there than to say if Diego doesn't win it, that there was this bias with Vandy. Ultimately, I think the bias is, and it hurt Diego, is Mendoza played last. And maybe, especially how they hyped it up on television after the throw and everything else, it was like giving him highs. You might as well have gift wrapped it and gave it to him after the game. So unfortunately, that's where he may fall short. Not his ability to play the position. Not that he wasn't. The numbers doesn't show that he's better than Mendoza. It's who did we see last and what did Mendoza do? Did he have a Heisman moment? He had a Heisman moment.
615-737-1025. The Heisman Trophy presentation is tomorrow in New York City. Your thoughts on Diego Pavia's chances, how close the vote could be, and we will have a question about that in Take It to the Bank to wrap up the show. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, now that Willie has joined us, we will revisit the Predators' 7-2 win against the St. Louis Blues last night. Steven Stamkos with a 4-goal game as the Predators keep rolling. We'll get Willie's thoughts on that, plus the trade the Predators made this morning as well. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
So now, playing at a Heisman level, which you going to New York.
Yeah.
To we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, I've seen second number, you know, all the bet lines and all
stuff. Right, yeah.
But you're one of the top three players in college football. Being that, knowing what that took and the level you're playing at now, why were people passing on you? I know you've talked about your height and size, but through New Mexico, through community college, then New Mexico State, like, you were doing something that wasn't what the hell I've been watching at Vanderbilt.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I was thinking. I was like, dude,
I can win wherever I go. I just need a chance. I just need an opportunity. Still, the NFL as well. Just give me a chance. I just want an opportunity. I can show you that I'm going to play. You know, and that's just who I feel, who I am deep inside. I'm a true competitor who I don't want at all costs. I'm going to beat you out. It don't matter who you are, what you do, where you came from. I'm going to win.
That was Diego Pavia on the Pivot Podcast ahead of the Heisman Trophy presentation tomorrow evening in New York City. Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Tim. Tim, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. I enjoy the show. Derek, I got a few stats I want to throw out at you. Indiana has the best offensive line in the country, they say. Indiana has two All-American wide receivers. Okay. They scored 13 points in their last game. If Vanderbilt had only scored 13 points, we would have lost 9 of our 10 games. Okay. He has 13 games, and Diego's got 800 yards more than he does. Make those numbers not say Diego is a winner.
Thank you for the call, Tim.
Tim, listen, I'm not arguing with the numbers. The numbers, if you're taking it based upon numbers, Diego should win the Heisman. Because not only is he a passer, but he's a runner as well. And I thought that meant something if you can be a dual quarterback and you do it at a high level. So I'm not disputing the numbers or you know, combating the numbers. I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of it's unfortunate for Diego that his last game wasn't last weekend.
Yep.
Again, had he been in the SEC championship game and played the way he played against Tennessee, he would have been the clear-cut winner. It wouldn't have even been close because we would have saw him win and play that way against any SEC championship game. He would have won the Heisman. But because we saw it the week prior and then Mendoza comes out at 7 o'clock, they're the only game on television right now. They didn't already play the SEC championship game. He has the prime time slot. Did he play a great game? No. But how many of those quarterbacks play a great game against the number one team in the country in Ohio State? The thing he did that Diego wasn't able to do and couldn't do, it wasn't his fault, is to have a big moment on the day when everybody was watching. Not just one group of people, not just this group of people, but everybody. And it was prime time. And the announcers. And then, you know, they're in bed with the Big Ten. And the announcers was hyping. Again, you might as well have just, they should have just had the Heisman there waiting on him after the game. And when he got finished talking, they should have handed him the Heisman right after that.
Well, we'll see what happens.
You know, I'm not disputing the numbers. You're right about the numbers.
I think you hit on it, D-Mace. It's numbers versus the very simple, and I think it will be this simple for some voters. Best player. Even though the caller makes the argument that he may or may not be the best player, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Mendoza is the guy. The quarterback always is the most important. Best player on the undefeated number one ranked team. That's it. There have been many Heisman winners that have won just on that, and guys that are not even as close to being as talented as Mendoza. I think you look at the Gino Torettas, and there's a couple other examples. I think Jason White was brought up. You know, just powerhouse teams where the quarterback is the headliner and wins it, and that's all there is to it. To the victor goes the spoils.
Who, Doug Flutie, did he win the Heisman before he threw that Hail Mary or after?
After. That was his moment. That was his moment.
Exactly, what I'm saying. Like, sometimes it's like Willie said, sometimes it's as simple. It may not be fair. But it is as simple as who's on television last and who has that moment
right.
last.
Scott and Waverly says it's crazy how they use the numbers to keep Vandy out of the playoff, but they don't use the numbers. Then they don't use the numbers to declare a Heisman winner. Well, it's two different things, Scott. Mm-hmm. There is a college football playoff committee, and then the Heisman voters. I believe our very own Joe Rexroad, for example, is a voter for the Heisman Trophy. But as someone who votes on awards, Willie, you do as well. There are many different factors that play into this. Some people watch Diego Pavia incredibly closely, like the three of us do. Some people don't watch Vanderbilt play at all. Some people saw what Fernando Mendoza did over the weekend, and that was it. That may have been the only thing they needed to see. What's interesting about having such a wide group of voters is there are so many different ways that these voters come to their own conclusions. So that's why I'm fascinated to see what the voting ultimately turns out to be. And we will see what happens tomorrow night when the Heisman Trophy is handed out. Yes, Willie.
Just to add to what you said real quick, it's entirely possible that a cross-section of voters only saw the Alabama and the Texas games.
That's true.
Where you
as well
might have been a little bit underwhelmed. So, well, Vanderbilt lost. You know, Pavia was good. You know, he had his moments, but there's a couple turnovers in there. That might be the difference for a cross-section of voters. It's a very random, because of the criteria, it is a question of how much you really look at the numbers and the value beyond just the moments and Indiana's undefeated.
Right. The Nashville Predators have won 6 of 8 after defeating the Blues 7-2 last night. The Predators are back in action in Denver. That's where Willie is. That's tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central puck drop, 7 p.m. pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. Vibes are high, Willie. Let's start here. I want your analysis of the trade the Predators made this morning. They traded defenseman Spencer Stastny to the Edmonton Oilers for a 2027 third-round pick. They had a surplus of defensemen. The Oilers had a need for a defenseman after trading one in a subsequent trade, a big trade in the NHL involving Tristan Jarry and Stuart Skinner. So the Predators have a bit of a logjam at defense. The Oilers had a need. The Predators had a spare defenseman. They get a third-round pick out of Stastny. Your thoughts on the trade that happened this morning?
Well, first, I want to commend Spencer Stastny, because imagine, Adam, me coming on the air with you guys 1 year ago and saying, you know what? In a year, they're going to get a third-round pick for Spencer Stastny. He was not playing. He was just getting maybe back to skating at this time last year. It was unknown how effective he could be. Would he ever play? And even after he made it back to the NHL last year, he wasn't great. And he entered training camp this year as a guy that was on the outside looking in of making the decor. So the fact that he has played well enough to get a third round pick is pretty astonishing. And that being said, I was a little bit, ooh, you know, the key is what you mentioned. They have 8 defensemen on the roster, and they have Tanner Molendijk, one of their top prospects, who is in the pipeline, not too far away. He's probably not ready to come up and help them a lot right now today, but they want to make sure there's a pathway there, and they still have 7 other guys that they can use. I think Spencer Stastny has a chance to be a perfect fit for the Oilers, because the one thing Stastny does best is he can really fly. And so I'm a little bit surprised that on a team like the Predators that doesn't have great team speed, they would give up one of their faster players in Stastny. So, but I see the logic. Hey, he was a 5th-round pick. You get a 3rd-rounder back. Who knows whether the Oilers can be as good as they've been. You could argue that they may be slightly on the decline, and that 3rd-round pick might be a little more mid of the 3rd round than the end of the 3rd round. So I've got mixed feelings on it, Adam, to be honest with you, because I think Spencer Stastny, there's a chance that he could take another step forward. He's a gifted skater.
So the Predators are going for their 7th win in 9 games tomorrow night against the Avalanche. They beat the Avalanche in a shootout. Earlier this week, Willie, I mentioned to Derek at the start of the show, the morning of that first win in the 6 wins in 8 games, the game in Detroit the day before Thanksgiving, the Predators woke up 11 points out of a playoff spot. Today, they woke up 5 points out of a playoff spot. So still not within, they are within striking distance, but they haven't completely erased the deficit. But Derek was asking me what it's going to take for the Predators to sustain this and play at a pace that will allow them to be within the thick of it when the season turns to February March and April. And I know that you saw something today that piqued your interest when talking about this.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit unique because some years I think you assume that to get to the playoffs, you got to have about 96 points. And that still could end up being the case. But Dom Lucision from The Athletic looked at all of the models that he uses analytic-wise, and he thinks, and I think the eye test bears this out, that the last playoff spot might be around 86 points, which would be really, really low. I would be surprised if it's that low, to be honest. Somebody's going to get hot out of this pack of teams. And so it's a little more realistic than it would be in a normal year if the Predators had the same exact record. But right now, they're playing. Their formula is working. Analytic-wise, their formula looks like it's sustainable in a lot of ways, especially if they can get Juuse Saros at his A game, Roman Josi on his A game, Philip Forsberg, three guys who are, the team's built around that haven't had superstar seasons, anything close to it so far. So, they feel a lot better about how they feel a lot better about the team today than they did 2 weeks ago. It's going to take another several weeks of this to really get real about this because there's so many teams in that pack, and there's really only one, maybe two spots available because the top three teams in the Central have got a big gap on the other team. So it's about the wild card, and you throw a lot of teams into the bin. So you've got to be that team that's special enough to rise up above that pack, and that would not be easy at all. So got to be real about it, but it sure does look a lot more like they hoped it would look, where you got veterans like Stamkos doing really well with other guys chipping in, O'Reilly, et cetera. And then you've got an influx of youth that's contributing, like Wood, Schaefer, and especially Evangelista right now. That's what it was supposed to look like from the start. So it's too bad they got so far behind before this started to happen.
615-737-1025. We will wrap up the week by taking it to the bank. That is coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 1025. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Wrapping up the week, as we always do, by taking it to the bank with our friends from F&M Bank. Business is complicated. Banking doesn't have to be. At F&M Bank, visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfnmbank.com. I am really looking forward to David Jane's recapping last week, specifically the first pick from last week. David, if you please.
Yeah, we know, Adam. You said it in the first week. Our first one for general questions was Duke or Michigan State, because we have a proud Michigan State alum and the biggest Duke fan that we know, Adam Vingen.
How'd that one go?
Did that game even happen?
I don't remember.
It happened last year, didn't it?
How'd that one go, guys?
I don't think it happened. Willie,
that game was like last year. That game was last year. What are we talking about it for?
I don't remember who won.
Yeah, I don't either.
Duke 66, Michigan State 60.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mean that game? You were talking about the lacrosse game. My bad.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, so the only one who picked Duke, obviously, was Adam.
Yeah, I told y'all.
The rest of us, the good guys,
State. Okay, I'll take my point.
All right, so the next one was Myles Garrett over under 3 sacks. All of us but Willie picked the over. So Willie get the point for that one. Mm-hmm.
He had one sack.
I had faith. You know what? That was actually very good game planning. They game planned their way.
Oh, absolutely.
Not by me, but the Titans coaches actually, I don't know how many times you could sit there after a game was over on Sunday and say, that was a really good game plan and scheme where they helped Cam. In that area, they helped him a lot. They called a lot of passes where he got that ball out.
So, David, what were our individual choices from last week?
So, Adam, I'm going to start with you because you're the first name that I see.
Sure.
You said UVA will beat Duke by 2 scores.
Ye of little faith.
Man.
That did not happen. I was happy about it, but that did not happen.
But then you said Sanders would have a higher QBR than Cam, and he did. So you got 3 points off of that. So for a total of all the points from last week, you get four.
Okay.
For a total of 62 points.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it.
There you go. Look at that.
All right.
And then, Willie, let's go to you. You said Georgia would win over Bama by -1.5. You got that. But then you said Ohio State would win -4.5.
How dare you underestimate Fernando Mendoza, Willie? How dare you?
Well, now that I've heard him in the interviews, I don't know if I'll ever do that again. But yeah, that was
fair.
A good win. So 1 out of 2. I'm treading water, I have been for weeks.
Yeah, you're still in the lead, so I don't want to hear any more from you. But so you got 4 points from last week for a total of 80 points and still in the lead.
All righty.
D-Mace, you had a great week for your individual picks.
Okay.
You said under 139.5 for Duke versus Michigan State. Ding. That did happen.
Yeah.
And you said under 57.5.5 for the Duke versus Virginia game. So you got both of those.
Damn.
Pretty good week.
There we go.
6 total points for a totality of 58 points.
Okay, right on my tail. Right on my tail.
This is not good. This is not good for me and Adam now.
No.
Now, again, I hate having to do this to myself, but I have to every time I have a stinker. I did this. It was not a good week for your boy, David James. I said that Derrick Henry would get 2 touchdowns against the Steelers. Derrick Henry didn't even get a touchdown at all. I don't know how many attempts he got. And then I also said that Isaiah Horde, my guy, would get a touchdown against Georgia. They only got 1 touchdown, and Isaiah Horde was not that guy.
Oh, I'm sorry, David.
It's all right. It's no big deal.
So how many points do you have? Total.
Well, total I have 63. So I'm still second place.
Oh, I'm catching up.
But you both are catching up to me. I need to be better. I need to get on my A-game.
Willie's got some breathing room, but the rest of us are neck and neck. So let's go with our common questions for the week. The first, I've alluded to it already. The Heisman Trophy presentation tomorrow, 6 p.m. Central, ESPN. I saw this from Gentry Estes today. The smallest margins of victory by points in Heisman voting history. Mark Ingram in 2009 over Toby Gerhardt, 28 points. 1985, Bo Jackson over Chuck Long, 45 points. I'm not going to make you pick the winner, but will the difference between the winner and the runner-up be fewer than 50 points?
I say it'll be more.
Willie?
I think it'll be within 50. Yes.
So you're going to take the under on that
taking
one.
Yes.
Over.
I will also say that it will be within 50 points. David?
I as well.
Okay, so Derek's on an island here. How dare you disparage Diego Pavia like that?
Point.
I hear you.
I didn't say that he would lose.
I know. That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. How dare I assume he's going to lose?
Exactly.
Okay. The second common question. Titans take on the 49ers on Sunday in Santa Clara, California. Here's a stat from ESPN that we referenced earlier, Derek. Titans quarterback Cam Ward has a 62% completion rate since week 11, which ranks 13th among 34 qualified quarterbacks during that span. Will Cam Ward have a completion percentage of at least 62% on Sunday against the 49ers? Derek?
No.
Willie?
I say yes. They've been throwing these quicker, shorter passes. That's what's bringing the percentage up. It doesn't mean they're throwing for a lot more efficiency, but he's getting the ball out quick. So I'll say he gets over, but I don't know if it's going to equate to a lot of yards.
I will say under 62%. David?
I'm going to follow in the winner and the leader of the group. Opinion. I'm going to go over as well.
Okay, so we're split on that one.
Scary.
All right.
Scary.
On our individual.
It really is. I'm sorry.
On our individual selections, I will go first. A gigantic, a monstrous, a huge game in the AFC on Sunday. The 9-4 Bills at the 11-2 Patriots. I'm looking at Buffalo favored on the road by 1.5. I will take the Bills to win by at least a field goal. On the road against the Patriots. And here's one for you, Willie. Duke Miles will score at least 20 points for the 9-0 Vanderbilt Commodores against Central Arkansas tomorrow at Memorial Gym.
Okay.
By the way, I saw that there are going to be live check-ins during the game on the scoreboard for the Heisman Trophy presentation if you're going to the basketball game. But Duke Miles, at least 20 points. He averages 17.8 points per game. I'll take 20 points for Duke Miles. What about you, Derek?
Okay, I am going with the same game. The over-under is what, 49, I think.
For the Bills-Patriots, yeah, 49.5.
Okay, the last meeting, the Patriots won 23-20, so I'm going the under.
Okay, taking the under on the Bills-Patriots.
Taking the under. And you know what? I'm going with the Titans. I say that Cam Ward throws at least a touchdown in this game.
Oh, that is...
Yeah, he's got at least a touchdown. How many times has he thrown for at least a touchdown?
He's thrown at least one, like a couple of touchdowns. I mean, to be fair to him,
he's only thrown ever a couple thrown for two once. That was last week.
Exactly. So I mean, that's not. I mean, that's
not
going
much
out
of degree of difficulty. That's not much of a degree.
Okay. No, you know what?
It's passable.
How?
It's passable. It's passable.
I think that's worth half a point if he gets it right.
No, because as much as people talk about how bad he's doing, hell, he may not throw for one
raise
touchdown.
Raise the stakes.
Yeah, yeah. How about this? Say touchdown and the passing yards for him.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll accept that.
So he will have at least one touchdown.
Yes.
And over 200 yards passing.
Okay. There you go.
A passing touchdown? Or
just
any
touchdown. Just a touchdown.
Okay, period. So a rushing touchdown.
Okay, yeah,
so
rushing touchdown.
Okay, so a touchdown of any kind.
It has to be both.
Okay.
It can't
be a touchdown of any kind and 200 passing yards.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fine.
Boy, D-Mace got talked into that. D-Mace, I got to tell you.
D-Mace just got bullied.
You usually don't buckle that easy. You
D-Mace got the Adam treatment.
I've learned from the best.
All three of y'all got on me at the same time.
I've learned from the best. Willie, why don't you go next?
All right, I'm going to say, just for pure entertainment, that Phillip Rivers
yes.
throw a touchdown pass.
Oh, wow.
Hot diggity.
You'll get a lot of points for that one.
They're a 13.5 point dog.
Dad gummit.
He better
get him in there.
Throw that touchdown.
He better play.
Air it out.
He better play.
I want to see it. I think that's what we're all here to see.
Shane Steichen would not confirm whether he planned to start Rivers on Sunday.
Okay. So I'm going for the TD pass for him. And then the other one, I'm going to go. Where is it? I lost it. I'm second guessing myself. All right, let's go. I'm gonna say the Lions plus six against the Rams. I think it's gonna be a close game. The Lions are capable of beating the Rams.
Of course,
the Rams are playing great ball though, but 6 points is a lot. So I think the Lions will be right there. Lions plus six.
David, your individual selections for this week.
All right, guys, so I'm going to go back to my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. The Grizzlies just announced that John Morant is coming back to play. So give me the Grizzlies tonight against the Jazz, -7.5. I believe it's -7.5. Yes, it's -7.5 Grizzlies to beat the Utah Jazz. And a big rivalry is also happening for the Memphis Tigers basketball team. Memphis versus Louisville. And again, your boy don't like Louisville. No one should like Louisville. That color, ugh. But you know, it's always L's down over here. Unless your name's Connor Newt, then I'm gonna say, you know, whatever. But I'm gonna go Memphis Tigers over Louisville. Go Tigers, go baby!
All right, we'll see how that goes. Phillip Rivers has got to play. Shane Steichen has to understand. Mm-hmm. That the entertainment value this weekend in the NFL rests solely in his hands.
We deserve to see Phillip
yes,
Rivers.
Yes, we deserve it. We deserve to see Phillip Rivers. You know, I was comforted by looking at Phillip Rivers. You know, like I heard Charles Robinson say this on Robbie and Rex Road earlier this week. Like, you saw Phillip Rivers. Now, he's a little out of shape. But you know what? As we age, our faces all get a little bit rounder. Mm-hmm. And I saw Phillip Rivers, and I was just like, he's living the dream, man. He's put on a couple of pounds, but he's about to get back in an NFL game.
Didn't y'all see how happy he was when
yes.
he was talking? Because he's on vacation
yeah,
right
he's
now.
Away from his baseball team worth of children.
Exactly. He's like, man, whoo, break. I needed
man.
That one.
Oh, man. Willie, try not to get into any trouble tonight in Denver. Don't accept any brownies.
Please don't.
Pretty please.
Don't accept any brownies.
Done deal. Done
deal. Hey, look out your window and take a picture of the mountains for me, Willie. I know they're right outside your window.
You know what? I should have on the way in because it's actually a very beautiful day here, but the sun has set, so I can't. I don't have a view, but I'll get you one in the morning.
Okay.
So I'll go on a little jog.
Thank you.
Get a little Mile High Stadium with the mountains in the background. I'll get that done.
Well, that'll do it for us this week. You can catch the Predators here tomorrow night against the Avalanche at 8 p.m. puck drop, 7 p.m. pregame, right here on 102.5 The Game. Of course, you can also watch it on the FanDuel Sports Network with Willie Donick and the crew. We will be live back at 3 o'clock on Monday. We will recap the Titans game against the 49ers, the Heisman Trophy presentation. We'll see how Diego Pavia does. Hopefully, Philip Rivers plays too. But we will be back with you tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow's a day off.
Yes.
Monday, 3 p.m. We'll be back.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend. Let's go, Diego. Bring home that Heisman Trophy. Peace.